Welcome back. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for episode 2 of the Port Podcast. I'm Kate Bilberry.
And I'm Craig Esterbrooks.
And we are back for episode 2. We've got lots to talk about, but we wanted to say thank you so much for all the engagement, the feedback, the shares, the messages about the first episode. Really quite a bit of initiative going around Harbor Lights. Our first episode, we wanted it to be, you know, really thorough, really focused on Harbor Lights and what that initiative was. And, you know, it's really great to see everyone out at the mug sale and you know, the sale created as a result. So thank you so much for all your help with that. And we're excited to have you back for episode 2. I think for this episode, we're really going to keep it very real and casual. There's been a lot happening in the city. There's a lot of momentum happening with what's coming. And we wanted to just jump on and talk to you a little bit about that and what that means for the people who live here, work here, who might be coming to visit here. And yeah, so that's what this episode's going to be about. And we really hope that you enjoy it. So thanks, Craig. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. And I'm going to commit to sitting closer to the mic. So that everyone
did you get feedback?
I got a little feedback from the listeners that that I think I strayed
Thank
a little
you.
From the mic. I'm a hand talker. I like to gesture a lot.
We get excited. We can't help it.
We get excited. So I'm going to try to be as excited, but in the mic for this episode.
In the mic. Yeah. We really were excited to hear people watching it on TV, on YouTube, listening to it, having conversations amongst what other people should be on the show, what topics we should have. So the next few weeks, we have some really great episodes coming up. But this one, we wanted to talk a little bit about what you've probably seen being teased on the port social media is about the cranes that are coming. I've lived in St. John my whole life, so almost 34 years. And, you know, cranes have always been part of the skyline for me here. And seeing two new ones, I kind of wanted to know, well, what does that mean? How does that affect our workforce? How does that affect, you know, businesses that are working here? And, you know, very quickly doing the port podcast, I've been really just thrown into the port ecosystem and, you know, their team. So to me, learning about the cranes in this way gives me the ability to be able to understand how maybe other people don't understand the connection and
for sure.
how we can kind of communicate, you know, the best way around it. If we were to kind of just go real simple, what can you tell us about the cranes just off the top of your head?
Yeah, so cranes for a container terminal are the heart of the activity. So the cranes allow the longshore workforce to literally pick up the container from the ship, put it onto shore, and get it on its way to its final destination in its most simple term. So for many, many years, the Port of St. John's been operating a container terminal back to early 1970. The Rodney Terminal was put in place in the early 1970s, around 1972 to 1974 when it was commissioned. And for the longest time, we did have 4 cranes here at one point.
Right.
And they were very small, and people remember a number of years ago, the last 2 of those historic red cranes were the heart of Rodney Terminal up until 2017. And in 2016, when DP World won the concession to take over the terminal, they decided early on that we needed more modern cranes. So they were able to source the 2 existing blue cranes that we see today. They were also floated in, and we made a big deal and welcomed folks to the waterfront to see that. It was a really monumental turning point for us at the Port of St. John to see a brand new operator and new cranes and new equipment come in for the first time in many, many years was a big milestone. And we've seen that solid incremental growth since 2017, largely as a result of those cranes. And they add more efficiency, they allow you to work the ship quicker, and they allow that workforce just to be that much more productive is what those cranes do.
Now for the average working person here, you know, I try to stay engaged, but if it doesn't necessarily affect my day to day, I tend to just see the press releases or, you know, the funding announcements, and they kind of just go backburnered. But for the person, you know, that's maybe lived here for their lives or who might be visiting, like, what does 2 new ones really mean, and how is that really going to affect our city, and does it? I mean, I can tell you, yes, it does. But from your perspective, could you explain, you know, to the audience what they're going to do?
Yeah. So in addition to the 2 existing cranes, we have 2 brand new ones being floated in. We'll get into that detail. They're coming from South Carolina. But what it does, the whole modernization project gave us a second berth. So we have the ability to work two container ships simultaneously. So the existing cranes will work at what we call Rodney Terminal, and then the new berth that we have not named yet will have the new cranes that arrive at the end of this month. So we'll be able to work those two ships simultaneously. So that'll mean a lot more ability to handle containers. At the same time, we'll be able to handle bigger ships with the new cranes because they're that much taller. They're what the industry calls 100-gauge crane. Mm-hmm. So that'll allow a larger reach, and we'll be able to work a bigger ship that comes into the Port of St. John. And why that matters, why that should matter to folks locally, is more cargo direct means that there are more direct people working on the waterfront. And we really saw that in 2022 with the increased increased amount of containers that were handled at the Port of St. John. The person hours for the longshore were over 300,000 this past year. Historically, over the last decade, we've been more in that 140,000 to 170,000 hours worked. So we've almost doubled the
amount
of time. Seems
like from one aspect to the other, doubled everything from containers, people, working hours, which is good. It's good for the region. It's good for our city. It's good for the people here. It's good for morale. I see it definitely affecting, you know, the conversations of people thinking about staying and working here.
Yep.
Because it's something to be proud of. It's nice to see that there are other global leaders that are saying, hey, wait a second.
Yep.
You know, and we're seeing it every day now, which is it's good because there are a lot of good people rolling their sleeves up and putting boots to the ground to make really big deals happen. And they don't just happen overnight.
Yeah. And to further our conversation we had around the first podcast in Harbor Lights, the average wage is double the living wage that the Human Development Corporation sets. So these are jobs where people can set up, have a family, you know, enjoy some of the enjoy some of the benefits of living in St. John in the province of New Brunswick because it's a fair, very fair wage, and that's why we're really excited about adding hundreds of jobs to the waterfront that we've seen the last year.
Now, the cranes are coming from South Carolina,
yeah.
And you the Port of St. John, you guys have done a lot of business with them. For how many years now? Since 2017, if I'm correct?
Yeah, DP.
But probably longer than then, but really officially since 2017.
Yeah, DP World really started in January 2017 is when they took over the terminal, but it had been many, many years working with them on and off. They're such a fantastic global player that operates, you know, over 80 terminals around the world. And they look at their company as more of an end-to-end logistics provider than just a terminal operator. So they've got a safety culture and a respect for the unionized workforce across their many terminals that is really second to none. So
it's
really integrated
the way that they're really thinking about it. They're not missing any gaps from a wage perspective, safety. Yeah, I think that's what definitely attracted me about learning more about the port is we see things happening all the time, and it's easy just to drive across the bridge and say, oh, like something's being built or there's some more gravel. But unless you're really right there or you know someone who's working on the ground or you know someone at the port, you don't really think to dig in, and that's a big part of what the show and some of the social that you'll see on the port is aimed to try to connect is that same integrated big picture thinking.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be able to seize that opportunity, you know, when it's knocking, but also before, right? And we've always been innovative in noticing those opportunities and really carving them out ourselves and working with the best partners, whether globally, municipally, you know, on a region perspective. And like I said, I've lived here my whole life. I've stayed for a reason, you know, and I've never moved. I didn't go to school anywhere else. You know, I've lived here my whole life. Right. And, you know, to see the cranes coming in, you know, I seen a picture the other day of the cranes coming under the bridge.
Yeah.
And we'll have to put a picture in this video so that you can see it. But wow, like just the amount of work. And you don't know what you don't know, right? So sometimes you think like putting your boat on the back of your truck. Not that I have a boat. I'm just saying when you think of hard things like latching things on, learning new programs, learning to drive, those things are hard. But think about trying to move cranes from one port to another in crazy winter Atlantic water. Like I couldn't imagine. So props to everybody involved in that move.
Yeah,
I can only imagine it. It says it took months. I can only imagine it probably took double that.
Yeah, and just to get these cranes winterized and ready for this climate is a big deal. You know, I feel bad they're coming from beautiful climate in South Carolina. And here looking, I don't know if you can see behind us, we've got rain, wind, freezing rain, snow today. These cranes had to be, a lot of upgrades had to take place, and they had to make sure that they're ready for this climate and that can be worked. And we're pretty proud that DP World has, you know, kind of left no stone unturned. These cranes are going to be ready for action after a couple months after they arrive.
And so They'll be coming in over the next couple of weeks. If you're listening, watching the show, you know, stay tuned to the socials to be able to see in real time. But also there's the vessel tracker. You'll be able to see that as it's coming in real time. You know, there'll be other stakeholders, other folks sharing content about it. It's pretty exciting. And I think we'll have some dates over the next couple of days after this is released to kind of know what might be happening along like the waterfront so that, you know, if it's a clear day, hopefully you can grab a spot and check it out. Cause it's a big deal. And I think it's kind of like, it's like, we're open for business and there's a lot more to the future. Yeah. Not that St. John isn't, in my opinion, on the mark for that, but I think it's seeing those things, it's seeing announcements that are really affecting our population growth, our economic, you know, our stand in our society that really, I don't know, is really affecting people wanting to stay here, their morale to help each other, mental health. Like it's a big, you know, making more money than you've ever made before has a whole mental health perspective tied to it.
No question.
Right. Yep. And an economical perspective. And I think, you know,
And that's the kind of discussion we're trying to have on this podcast is that throughout the year, we're able to have a more nuanced conversation. So whether it's Kate and I, or we bring a guest in, we're hoping to get into that level of detail that you don't often get to do when an interview is quick or you're operating in a soundbite environment for us to be able to just chat like we do in the office internally and give people a bit of a glimpse into what we do, I think will be really rewarding for everyone. And then also get that feedback from listeners that want to understand a little bit more about the port. Maybe it's a question we've never been asked before. Maybe it's something we need to be looking at that we aren't looking at, because there's tons of good ideas that exist outside the walls of the cruise terminal here.
100%. So again, if you just heard that, you know, send us a message. Reach out on social. If you want to call in, we have the ability to do that. If you want to be anonymous, that's cool too. If you'd want to share a, you know, a thought or an angle that you might have, or even just your own version of an FAQ about, you know, some information around cranes, the port. I think it's always interesting to see it from other perspectives. And I mentioned at the start of the show, you don't necessarily have to care about the things that don't impact your life.
Right.
So yeah, cool. From, you know, the average perspective, yeah, we have cool new cranes. There's some work happening at the port. Maybe it doesn't affect that anyone's livelihood. It doesn't affect your going out or your daily life. So it's just cool. But I look at it as, how is it affecting our friends, our family, the people that are, you know, potentially part of this big move, how it affects the future, how it affects people going into some of those trades. And it really has a domino effect.
Because too often economic growth and an increase in industrial activity, you know, people look at it and they see it as a negative to their day-to-day life.
Absolutely.
And it very much can be. So we have to be very mindful of the impact that any growth that we have at the port or that industries that are operating in the port have, very mindful of the impact that has on citizens. Right. How can we mitigate it, and how can we add value? How can people see that because there's more cargo coming through the port, there's more economic prosperity, what is it that's made their life better? And that's why one of the pillars that we're going to be unveiling in 2023 around our strategic objectives is around better port city land transitions.
Right.
And we've started that in some way, shape, or form. Harbor Passage is the best example of that. Okay. But we need to be doing a lot more. And you know, one topic that we're going to discuss in the coming episodes is down at Long Wharf. So Long Wharf, we put the breakwater in. That's fantastic for local fishers and for our vessels, and the pilot boats are located down there.
Yep.
But the breakwater is going to be a very unique opportunity. We're finishing the scope on what that will look like. To extend Harbor Passage down onto the breakwater so that people can stand there and take a look at their port and you know, do, you know, maybe have a sandwich, a coffee, take a photo, but it'll be a really unique vantage point to the harbor. So we're really excited to be unveil what that'll look like soon.
I kind of nerd out sometimes when you talk about the scope of a project, because sometimes, you know, the idea might be something, but really trying to come up with the tools and the resources to implement it, like, you know, a giant crane move.
Yeah.
It takes a lot more due diligence than the average person.
Right.
And I nerd out on that stuff. So I want to know, like, do they have snow suits for the cranes? Like, what? How are they getting here? Are the tugboats, like, good enough? Like, and I think a lot of people have questions like this, aside from just the doubling the units, doubling the workforce. So I think, you know, if you're listening, watching, if you want to nerd out with me too about those things, we can certainly articulate more of that logistics stats kind of realm of things. But also, you know, when you're talking about scoping out projects, I think you're right. It's part of it is growth, it's strategic vision, it's really dotting the I's and the T's, but from an integrative perspective, but then really thinking from a culture and a morale perspective, you know, when you're walking around town, like we are seeing a lot of things that we haven't maybe seen to the critical point that it's at, but then we're seeing a lot of really great things. So it's understanding how to balance and how to work as a community to make sure that we're there for our community.
Yep.
And that includes everyone, right? Even the folks maybe falling by the wayside sometimes, you know, and making sure that, you know, the people that do have influence or a platform or any kind of impact are leveraging their expertise on additional committees. And we talked about that, about some of the poverty initiatives. It's really important if there's 20 groups, well, somebody from each one of those 20 groups needs to be talking to each other,
right?
So that efforts aren't duplicated, that funding gets given to the right groups for the right reasons, and that, you know, impact is made and people's lives get better.
No question.
You know, I definitely see that from an opportunity perspective in St. John. I mean, there's obviously negative and good happening in the city right now.
Yeah.
And that'll always be the case.
And I think the word that struck me that you just said is balance.
And
sometimes you're in harmony and you've achieved balance, and the next day you feel like that balance has been interrupted. That's our business at the port. That's our community. St. John is growing. There's definitely kind of unprecedented areas of population growth, port growth, you know, other economic announcements like the Integrated Health Initiative, educational announcements with new schools that are being planned. So we have a lot of momentum, but it's how do we be positive and promote those exciting opportunities, but yet turn a critical eye to some of the areas that are struggling and segments of the population that aren't doing as well. And you know, we need to have that balance, and that's, you know, just like the port, when we look at new initiatives and, you know, talk about exciting projects, we do have to strike that tone to say, well, what would that impact be on the greater community? There are projects. I've been with the port now, I'm in my 12th year. There have been tons of projects we've turned down over the last decade that may have had an economic benefit to some extent, but would have been, you know, largely negative to the people that are around us. So we have to find the right economic activity that occurs.
So I'm just curious, over the course of your 12 years, your transition, you know, from your previous role to now CEO, what is something that maybe the average person doesn't know about the port? I know I'm giving him a hard one, guys.
That's a tough one.
That it's not scripted.
It's definitely not scripted.
Right?
It's definitely not scripted.
It's unhinged.
It depends how bad my answer is. Then we'll really know how unhinged
we'll see.
It is. Yeah. I would say, you know, how different work is at the port depending on where you're sitting.
That's a great answer, actually.
Yeah, so we got a whole team that is 100% focused on crews, customer experience, bringing in 3,000 to 4,000 visitors to St. John. So they're interacting with, you know, Uptown St. John, Envision St. John, you know, all the different tour operators, and crews is one segment. Then we've got a whole other group looking at supply chain.
Right.
How are goods getting from Europe, South America, the Caribbean into the Port of St. John from an import standpoint to its final destination, which is oftentimes Central Canada or the U.S. Midwest, as far as Western Canada is where the imports. Then we've got another team looking at exports in New Brunswick and in our geographical region.
Right.
Then we have a maintenance team that's looking after all of this infrastructure. We have a mini city because we have pipes, we do water, we have electrical work, we have all of these things that we need to maintain, these assets that we're entrusted in by the government of Canada and to our shareholder, the Minister of Transport. We have to make sure we're operating this mini city in the most efficient way. We have engineers on our team, capital programs. We spend hundreds of millions of dollars creating better infrastructure and taking that which we have and just making it that much more usable for the private sector operators. Then we have leases. We have people like, you know, Nutrien and Campotex that have the potash terminal, and DP World with the container terminal. So there's all of these different things we do, and coordinating it can sometimes feel you know, like you're doing something different from hour to hour.
Right.
And I think that presents its challenges, but that's why our workforce is so engaged.
Right.
That's why we keep people. That's why people want to work here. It's an exciting, dynamic place to work. And your days can look so different. You're learning this now with us. Your days can look so different from Monday to Tuesday.
Well, two comments. One, do you sleep? Second, it is kind of like the Emerald City in the Wizard of Oz, right? So you've got all these things happening behind the curtain, but each curtain has its own department, its own process and implementation of how things are rolled out, very proactive, reactive, very supportive, which is really cool. But so much happening on the fly all the time, right?
So
you know, in learning a lot of these things, I wonder, like, do you sleep? Is your brain like mine where it's constantly like, about these things? What about DP World and this connection? What about this? What about the Seafarer? Like, that's just how my brain works. And it feels like you're so involved, not even just because of your position now, but because of how much you used to care in your position before CEO.
Yeah.
That's just my personal opinion as a peer as well. That I feel like you're just, I don't know how you're able to articulate so many in-depth and legally binding pieces of information, you know, so well. So I give you props to that.
I
think the average person doesn't necessarily realize that you have so much on your plate.
No, on the same token, it's such an interesting industry to work for a port and to get to do all these different things. It keeps you probably on your toes and more engaged because there's nothing repetitive about it.
Right.
Lots of coffee and
and
transitioning to red wine in the evening helps.
Cheers to that.
cheers to that. it's a really being able to see the big picture and working at a port authority is a pretty unique thing. And there's 17 of us across the country.
Right.
And what's so interesting to me is when we can get together as a network, and someone could be working in Vancouver, Montreal, Baldoon, the other port here in the province of New Brunswick. There's so many similarities to what we do, yet so much nuance and differences.
Yeah.
That's another exciting aspect of the job, being energized by what other ports are doing.
That's so cool.
And we're really looking to ports in Europe because a lot of the new trade that we're doing with our three container lines, MSC, Hapag-Lloyd, and CMA-CGM, they're European-based lines.
Yeah.
And a lot of our new trade is coming from Europe. I think the European ports like Antwerp and Rotterdam and Hamburg, London Gateway, have done some of the most unique work around the world, balancing labor needs with infrastructure, with communities growing up around them, you know, moving different cargo activities to areas that are less populated.
Right. Just
picking up operations and moving them. In some respects, Marseille in France is a great example of that.
Right.
I think it's European ports that have a lot to offer, American ports as well, specifically in the state of California. LA and Long Beach have done a lot of really innovative things to grow their port and to grow it in a way that's more complementary to community, and that's what we want to replicate here.
Well, you've heard it here first, everybody. No, that's a great answer. And I loved your answer about how you said, you know, it's different based on where you're sitting. And I think that's a great answer. And, you know, again, to everyone, you know, listening, watching, thank you for, you know, being engaged. We want to have you on the show. We want to hear your perspectives. We want to know what you want to see more of. You want me up in a crane? I'm terrified of heights.
Oh, you just committed to that.
But I'll do it.
I've been up. It's not fun.
I don't want to, but I'll do it. I'll do it for the gram. It's fine. But thanks, everybody, for listening. Next week, we're really excited. We'll be talking to Tanya Chapman. That's going to be a really good show. And, you know, really hope that you guys enjoy, you know, some of the coverage that you'll see of the cranes coming in. We hope that you take some pictures. Be sure to share, you know, tag the Port Pod, the Port St. John. We want to see, you know, your perspective and your crane stories. Honestly, I know I'm not the only one with them. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And until next time, cheers.
Thank you.